Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, that supports people with cancer in discovering the huge benefits that integrative medicine has to offer them to help them through treatment and to maintain their health afterwards. I've been known to describe our country as backward Britain for its ability to resist change and improvement in cancer care. And indeed, it's certainly true to say that at this point we are way behind some other countries in that we don't have one single integrative oncology centre at an NHS hospital, although things are moving in private care, and our oncologists still routinely fail to give any advice regarding probably the single most effective, low-cost, proven lifestyle intervention, exercise, as well as advising their patients to eat whatever they like, as diet is completely irrelevant. So it's easy to feel that things are never going to change here, but this would be wrong. I've been pushing for integration long enough to realise that change is happening, albeit at glacial speed, although that may be in large part due to Max Planck's principle that science progresses one funeral at a time. But I'm able to look back on 20 years in this field and recognise how much has happened and that the move to integration is gathering pace. In years gone by, intrepid people with cancer would seek out the rare doctors and nurses who were prepared to administer metabolic intravenous treatments, often with our help. High-dose vitamin C, for example, has a history that stretches back long before Yes to Life was even thought of. Linus Pauling, one of the only five double Nobel laureates, advocated for it from the 1960s, and it has remained a staple of unconventional approaches ever since. How has it survived so long? Well, because it's helped so many people with cancer. But such is the resistance of medicine to natural medicine that it is still, 60 years on, considered controversial and under-researched. In a sane world, this could never happen, given the immense suffering that cancer brings and the lack of safe and effective resources to deal with it. Anyway, as I said, change has happened, and through the likes of Dr. Will, a mainstream medic, running a clinic called Effect, vitamin C and many other unconventional interventions are now readily available. Hi, Dr. Will. It's a pleasure to have you as my guest on the Yes to Life show.
How do you do? It's great to see you. Thank you very much for having me on.
So you're an anaesthetic consultant and you're a fellow of the Royal College of Anaesthetists, which would lead one to expect that you spend your days in perioperative care. One of those last blurry faces you see as you sink into oblivion before surgery. I believe that actually is the case. That is what you do. But you are also surprisingly involved in delivering a very different and novel service. Something that could well be of interest to many listeners to this show. So do you think you could describe briefly the service that you're a partner of?
Yeah, absolutely. So my business partner and myself started a proactive healthcare company called Effect Doctors in 2017. We saw an opening for the need for this service. We started to get contacted by kind of GP friends of mine through medical school saying, well, I've got a patient who's got difficult IV access. Could you possibly administer this to them in the community? Or, well, I've got, you know, this patient who needs to have this particular infusion. Is there any way that, you know, you could do it with your anaesthetic IV access skills? And we started to do that for some private GPs and private clients in London. From there, we started to begin to kind of offer it ourselves. So we started off offering a kind of range of infusions from infusions for women who have hyperemesis gravidarum, which is morning sickness, to infusions for high-dose vitamins. We began to be approached by oncologists. We work closely with probably 10 or 15 different oncologists in London who have an interest in medicine, which is, you know, kind of different kind of medicine. I think that the word that is now used is integrative therapy. So we often get asked to do high dose vitamin C infusions, curcumin infusions, artesunate, which is actually an anti-malarial drug, which has been made very popular by Jane McClelland, who wrote the book How to Starve Cancer as part of her apoptosis protocol. And we work with Jane, it's been a fascinating journey.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I want to find out some more about that. It sounds like it's a rather different work to your work as an anaesthetist, but it's clear that your skills there actually translate very well to what you're doing. I'd like to sort of get the picture of how you got to where you are. Can we go right back and just ask you, first of all, what drew you into medicine in the first place?
Well, I loved biology, and in particular human biology at school, and I thought, can I do medicine? And I went to a very kind of competitive school in London where I was in set 2 out of 8 of science, and I was told age 17 that you had to be in set 1 to even think about doing medicine.
Right.
So I put medicine to the back of my mind. And then on my gap year, where I was going to be, where I studied Spanish in Spain, I met some Spanish medical students, and it made me realize that doctors are human beings, and you just need to jump through the hoops to get there. And so I actually went back to school when I was 19 and did chemistry A-level, which I hadn't done because I was...
Oh, wow, interesting.
I'd never been that interested in chemistry. I was more interested in biology and human biology, and actually physics and maths were interests of mine. And so you need chemistry to get into med school. And so I did my chemistry A-level for a year in London. And then I, at the same time, worked as a healthcare assistant at St. George's Hospital. And they actually gave me an amazing offer at St. George's of a C in AS level chemistry. But luckily, I managed to do much better than that.
You did, but they wanted you.
And I actually decided to go to King's. So I went to King's College, London, where I studied medicine. And I found my way throughout, my medical training, which is a lengthy amount of time.
Absolutely.
Into anaesthetics, which I absolutely loved. I did something called the acute care common stem, which involves doing intensive care, acute medicine, emergency medicine, and anaesthetics. And whilst I was going through placements in each of those specialities, I found anaesthetics, and I just found it absolutely amazing. It's
Tell me, come on. Intrigued. What is it about anaesthetics that hooked you in that way?
It's the physiology. You see it's physiology in action. You give a drug, you see an effect. Why that drug is having an effect. So it's also pharmacology in action, and it's got everything. It's got life-saving emergencies, it's got procedures, it's got pain as a subspecialty, intensive care, and then perioperative medicine and perioperative care, and I just find every day is very, very varied and very interesting. So my job at King's now is doing neuro anesthesia, and I mainly do that, but I also do some trauma anesthesia. And as part of neuroanesthesia, one of my super specialities is doing awake craniotomy. So I know you say that's the last thing the patient sees before they go to me, but actually for, probably a few days a month, I'm doing patients who are actually awake during their surgery to often have tumors removed. The reason why these are done as awake procedures is so that you can take as much of the tumor as possible. The brain is, of course, an absolutely vital organ. So what you do is as the surgeon is resecting the tumor, you check that, what the effect would be, if you took that next bit of the tumor out, by talking to the patient and stimulating it with often electricity to see whether you know they can still move their arm after you've taken that next thing out, and so it allows for wider margins of resection. And so I love that aspect of my job, you know, talking to the patient and making them feel comfortable through probably one of the most stressful things they might ever go through.
Absolutely, I can't imagine it. It's stressful. Anyway, but amazing. Yeah, you're right. It's an extraordinary job to be doing. And as you say, this is potentially life-saving work you're doing. So very interesting. All right. Nice little glimpse into your world there. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. Okay. So then you describe how you sort of fell into this separate endeavor by accident in some ways. It just came along, and there was stuff you were doing naturally. What point and why did you make the leap to suddenly think, oh, well, this could actually be a business?
Well, we just started to get very busy. And, you know, initially it was my business partner and myself running the business. And then we started to employ other people to help us. So we've now got a team of 10 nurses. Not on every day. We have two nurses on every day, but we run a rota. Opportunities presented themselves over time. During COVID, a lot of our GP colleagues who refer us patients wanted, you know, COVID tests done on people. As we've grown, we're doing more and more blood testing on patients, whether that be for our own patients who are interested in proactive healthcare. So we have a range of that we have put together, which are for the well person. We call them the well person.
Okay, yeah.
And that's to look at a whole range of different factors. And one of the things I always say is, if it's good enough for your car to have a yearly checkup, then surely it's good enough for your own body to have a yearly checkup.
So right.
That's, you know, something which is becoming more and more important to us as a business, as a revenue stream, but really it's important in our own hearts, because I feel like we're doing a lot of good there.
Well, preventive medicine is the future, really. That's the way governments are supposed to be thinking. They're not thinking hard enough yet, but they're definitely leaning in that direction, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a sad fact that our healthcare really in the UK is predominantly reactive healthcare rather than proactive healthcare. And of course, I understand, you know, the budgetary constraints, etc. And you know, we are trying, the NHS is trying to become more proactive with screening programs, which are, becoming more and more prevalent. And I hope we go more in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So, effect doctors, they're offering cosmetic medicine, I understand, which is not really the subject of today's discussion. But all the other procedures that you're offering broadly go under what you've just described. This is the banner of preventive medicine, so health-promoting procedures, let's say. They could be of interest to anyone who's just looking to maintain good health. But the reason that we're talking today is because, of course, many people with cancer, they seek these procedures out as an essential part of their integrative recovery program. So can we just run through the things that are, you've mentioned some of them, but are the whole list of things that are on offer?
Well, typically, in terms of cancer, are referred patients for different infusions. So we are asked to do by patients themselves and also by colleagues, infusions such as high-dose vitamin C infusions, curcumin, which is a turmeric extract, anti-inflammatory drug infusions. I mentioned artesunates. We also have been asked to do a range of other vitamin infusions. One of the things I should say is which we make very clear to all of our clients, we are experts at delivery of these drugs, but we're not cancer experts, and we make no claims as to their efficacy or I do find the evidence very interesting in terms of vitamin C, high dose vitamin C therapy, particularly in vitro, and that's I guess a a multiple hour long conversation.
It is.
Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so these are the intravenous drips. You've also mentioned testing.
Yep.
So that's, you say, is a growing part of what you do. Do you want to just talk a bit about what tests you offer and why?
So it's part of our well person profiles. We will look at your full blood counts, and looking at your white cells, your red cells, and your platelets. We'll look at your electrolytes, your kidney function, your liver function tests, your liver synthetic function ability with tests, your thyroid function. We look at PSA in men, which is a marker for prostate cancer, or CA125 in women, which is a marker for ovarian, uterine, and fallopian tube cancer. We also look at vitamins, if people are interested in knowing their full vitamin panels. In our even basic panels, we look at vitamin D levels. 30% of people are vitamin D deficient. We look at iron levels. 10% of women are iron deficient. We're particularly interested in ferritin, which is your stores of iron. One of our things that we do is we also get referred quite a few patients for iron infusions if they're severely iron deficient.
Right.
Often that can lead to anemia being severely iron deficient, and some people just can't absorb iron orally, or they have insufficient intake, or they just can't get their iron levels up. So we have a number of patients probably every single month that we do iron infusions. We use Ferinject for that, which is a very, very high quality iron, which gets your levels much higher. So we kind of view ourselves as able to deliver anything safely. As anesthetic consultants, we have full resuscitation capabilities here. And, patient safety is our number one priority. And we have, we have a great deal of experience in administering different things to patients, perhaps that we might not have administered before, as long as we understand the reasoning for its administration and have the patient's full consent, et cetera.
Very interesting. So, it's interesting because you've moved out of mainstream medicine to perform this, and so as you say, you're all fully qualified, trained healthcare service doctors delivering this care. And so, I mean, that's very nice for patients to know that this is not a sort of backroom effort here by somebody who you're not quite sure who's doing it. So that's fantastic. I was thinking to myself, one of the things it seems you offer, which is interesting, is that you're not sort of, here's three things we do. You're actually much more bespoke, if you like. You're actually making things up for people. You're able to deliver maybe an unusual cocktail of vitamins or whatever. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Because we've been in the business for many years now, we have a lot of contacts from really across Europe. We only buy our drugs from Europe. And I think that's actually something which is often asked of me when patients come to me. They hear stories of clinics who get drugs from places like China and they perhaps with unproven provenance. And we have great contacts in Switzerland, Germany, France, who we buy from. I have to say, Brexit has been an absolute in regards to that, parcels held up at customs for weeks on end, sometimes for months, and so that has been very, very difficult for us.
Yeah.
And customs charges now coming in, which makes things much more expensive for us. But also, we have contacts in the UK. We have contacts with formulating pharmacies who can make up medications, and we hold on stock about 70 different amino acids, electrolytes, vitamins, medical drugs, supplements. So we can make anything up and follow whatever the referring doctor or referring clinician or patient would like to have.
Yeah, very interesting. And so, as you were saying there, it spans across from vitamins to pharmaceuticals to drugs as well. And so are you ever delivering these simultaneously?
So, yeah, we can deliver things in the same session. We always take care to ensure that they are compatible if we're putting anything into the same bag. Often it would be that we might not have the compatibility data available. So in those instances, right, we would deliver them separately. And sometimes, you know, it really depends what they're being administered, but sometimes you might suggest that we do it in separate sessions rather than all at the same time. And in particular, you know, for example, with iron, I always deliver that as the only drug during a session, just because it has a much higher risk of allergic reaction. And I feel it's important to know that you are allergic to iron if you have iron, rather than hiding the picture, for example, by administering a few other drugs at the same time.
So you don't know which is actually causing the trouble.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. So, you know, if, just for anybody who's listening who's not absolutely clear on this, do you want to explain what the strengths are of delivering intravenously over just like taking supplements, for example?
Well, it's really to do with bioavailability. So when you take something orally, it goes into your stomach and then it goes down into your intestines and is absorbed along that pathway. And then when it so some of it won't be absorbed, so that's one thing, and will just pass out. And then that which is absorbed will go via the liver, and in the liver it might be broken down prior to being released into the bloodstream. So what the intravenous route avoids is that first pass metabolism and also first pass lack of absorption. And so you get 100% of what you want to have. So if you want to give mega doses, for example, as you know, as I said, clients come to us wanting to have high dose vitamin C, and we can deliver doses up to 100 grams of vitamin C, which is probably equivalent to about 10 full tubes of Barocca. So it is an absolutely monster dose. And what it does is it super saturates your body, and that gives the effect that is postulated via particularly people like Jane McClelland, being kind of for tumor lysis. As I said previously, it's a theoretical thing, and we don't advertise ourselves in any way as a cancer service. We advertise ourselves as a service which can deliver medication safely.
Yeah. Anyway, it's got quite a track record, vitamin C. Meanwhile, of course, there, because it's been used by people with cancer for a good half a century, and certainly it's safe. And it's as you say, there's mounting evidence of its effectiveness as well. Okay, so these sort of procedures, most notably the vitamin C, the curcumin you mentioned, artuzinate. They're mainstays of many people's integrated programs with continually growing good quality evidence for their effects. So it's really frustrating for people with cancer who've experienced the potential of these things that there's no interest in them whatsoever within the NHS. So, I mean, these are really inexpensive by medical standards, and they can help enormously with both the terrible side effects that everybody knows about of conventional care, and even more importantly, with longevity, with outcomes. So why do you think there's such apathy towards procedures that can be so helpful to patients, and what prompted you to take the step to embrace them?
Well, I think there's a few questions to unwrap there. You said apathy. I think that in certain quarters, there isn't apathy. I, you know, doctors, you know, in major London teaching hospitals who do embrace these ideas. And so I think that it's just as the general medical body, I think it has partly to do with the cost of running randomized double-blind controlled trials and putting something through from that perspective for drugs that are, as you mentioned, freely available and relatively cheap.
No.
Putting a cohort of thousands of patients through such a study costs millions of pounds or dollars. And, I don't think that people are going to do that. And so but when there's not a reward at the end of the tunnel for the company paying for it, because any other company can formulate it because it's off license, for example, if you're talking about vitamin C. So that's probably where we are with that. Why did I embrace these things? I have embraced, I find these things very, very interesting. For example, with my own mother, gave her high dose vitamin C with her colon cancer. But also, I think that there's a lot of fear in medical community to put one's name to something which isn't nice approved, etc. And as I said, with our clinic, we just say that we deliver it, and that's what we do. We deliver high dose vitamin C. We don't make any claims, and I think there is always a worry about reputation. You don't want to be accused of giving people false hope, because there isn't this high level of evidence out there for it, and you have to be very careful, where you sit on the fence in regards to that.
Mm. That's fair enough. Yeah. So my sort of summary of what you said to start with about the reasons that maybe it doesn't get adopted is that medicine is for profit. Unfortunately, that's the result. That's just kind of a quick way of saying it. If it doesn't make money, we don't do it. And
I think that's in drug companies, that is true. I'm sure there are some not-for-profit drug companies, but if you're talking about the big drug companies, then they are for profit.
But if the health service is only using the products of the pharmaceutical companies, then the health service as well is also for profit. It's only using medicines that make a good profit. The thing that's the interesting ingredient in the evidence argument, which is at least a lot of people are saying it these days, but it hasn't made it through into actual results, is the fact that there is wildly different need for evidence for something which is horrendously expensive and extremely dangerous, and something which is ridiculously cheap and ridiculously safe. And the health service itself could be running a trial of vitamin C alongside everything else they do for almost no money at all. It wouldn't cost millions of pounds at all. It would be a super cheap trial and could find out whether it actually helped people or not in a short time. But the will for that hasn't appeared yet. And the mantra of the fact that trials cost millions and millions of pounds and we have to do it this way and double-blind placebo-controlled trials are required for every single substance, regardless of what it is still in play. It's still that's the main narrative. And that is a pharmaceutical company narrative, as far as I'm concerned, because it suits them to be the only people who can come up with
I see what you're saying. I am apolitical, I will say really I see exactly your argument there. I think there will be in the future, more and more interest in this, and it is becoming more and more known. I know in the US, high dose vitamin C is used by a lot of oncologists, and I know in Germany it's immensely popular. And I know of some fantastic oncologists in the UK that are interested in it. And I think integrative therapy with what is really inappropriately called alternative therapy and non-alternative or standard therapy,
yeah,
a good option. I think there's lots of things that have a lot to offer in terms of cancer care, even as well things like exercise and diet.
Right. You know, and, absolutely.
Which, you know, probably were ignored in the past, but becoming more and more, you know, known about to doctors. I know it sounds so obvious, but, you know, probably 20, 30 years ago, it just wasn't something which was very considered. But yeah, mental health as well. You know, ensuring patients are positive, and all of these things have a massive impact. I am absolutely sure on survival rates if you take a whole population of patients.
Yeah, absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, look, it's really heartening for me to be talking to somebody who's coming from the direction of mainstream medicine and embracing integrative care. It's usually happening the other way, is that people are trying to persuade mainstream medicine to adopt things from the outside. And this kind of meeting in the middle is exactly what we need. We need people to be looking at, well, what's best for patients, what's actually working, and exploring it together. Whether it happens to have a label of mainstream or alternative or integrative, whatever it is, that's not really the interesting thing for patients. Patients want to know, will this help me? And if people like you are asking that question or looking outside the box and saying, well, actually, this seems to be quite good, that's brilliant to me from the point of view of patients. That's exactly what we need. And I'm heartened to hear that you're saying that quite a few of your colleagues are looking outside the box now, are interested in other things, because it certainly hasn't been the case in the past. And we really need that to happen as soon as possible.
I am heartened too. And of course, medicine is constantly evolving, and it's a lifelong journey as a doctor and as a profession, as we try to do our best for patients.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of the things that's in my mind, I'd be fascinated to ask you about it, is, you've done this, you made this step of looking outside at things which weren't taught to you at medical school. These are things you've come across for one reason or another, and you found out, yeah, actually there's some science behind it, and it seems to be helping people, and it's not dangerous, you know, it's particularly important. One of the stumbling blocks, if you like, to making that transition into this other world is that the science behind it, the theory behind it, is actually different. You know, still the mainstream is still largely all the thinking in oncology is based on genetic theory.
Yeah.
Genetic theory itself is more than wobbly in my mind at this point. It's sort of, it could be said to be disproven, but nonetheless, it's still that's, you know, the underpinning what's going on in hospital medicine.
Yes.
But outside of that, all this in parallel has been this development of metabolic science, which is the things that you're offering to people really fall into that category. They're looking at cancer as a metabolic disease. And these are two very different ways of looking at cancer, fundamentally different. And therefore, things that make sense in one paradigm don't make sense in the other, you know. So it's a difficult bridge to cross, and you know, you have done that, and you've probably at this point take on board, well, obviously there are genetic elements to cancer. That's one of the things we consider, but there's also all this other stuff here. And so, what do you think is going to be the thing that's going to move the dial here? Is going to open up cancer as to being more than just a genetic disease?
I mean, I think that it will always be partially, in lots of cases, a genetic disease, but also sometimes it will be something which is nurture. People say nature or nurture. It's situational, where it's exposure to something over the course of the lifetime, or or diet in some area over the course of the lifetime. I think without a shadow of a doubt, cancer is you know, caused by a multitude of different factors. And I think it's a very difficult thing to put a nail into. I would say, like I have said already, though, is that I am not a cancer specialist.
No.
I'm an anaesthetist, and it really is not my area. And with any of the things that we do, it is, you know, I am administering these drugs. I'm not so perhaps I feel that it's not a question that I can really adequately answer. It's just not my speciality. I'm a specialist at drug administration in a safe way, which is what I
fair enough.
Do on the
fair comment. Maybe it's unreasonable of me to be asking these questions. It was the kind of thing I'm exploring all the time, and
I think it's a really interesting thing to explore. And I think about it as a doctor, and I think about it with my family hat on, with members of my family with cancer, and I think about it with myself. You know, I know that I am a very high developing colon cancer, having had multiple members of my family get colon cancer.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's a very interesting topic of conversation, which I'm not an expert in.
All right. Great. Okay. Just to come back to what you're offering at the clinic, maybe you could give me a bit more general idea of what's on offer.
We offer a range of IV options. We have a multitude of amino acids, electrolytes, vitamins, supplements, and IV medications. We have a clinic on Greek Street in Soho. It's a very, very nice clinic. And we can do ad calls. We cover all of London and by arrangement outside of London. We actually have a license to send doctors or nurses anywhere in the world except for the US and Canada.
Really?
The premium for the US and Canada is prohibitive, and so we haven't taken our insurance company up on that. And we do get asked to go anywhere. We've been
really.
I send team members all around the world, and all around the UK, less exotically. So if people do want to have things in the comfort of their own home, then that is absolutely possible. Or they can come into the clinic, and of course it's cheaper to come into the clinic. And we run a clinic every single morning. The business has myself and three other doctors who run it together. I typically do kind of one day a week, and we take it in turns to ensure we give our clients a fantastic experience.
Okay, and obviously you're gradually getting embedded in a developing picture whereby this type of approach to medicine is becoming more common, more well established, and health prevention. Supporting cancer metabolically, this kind of thing is becoming more common currency. I'm just interested, where do you see your business go?
Well, more and more GPs in the UK and London know that we exist. They know that if they've got a click client who's got difficult IV access, they can have access to anaesthetic consultants. We've got really fantastic nurses. We have access to extremely high quality ingredients. I think our prices are very competitive. I know that we charge often three times less than some of the clinics which have a kind of shiny websites. I'm not saying our website
right.
is shiny, but we deliver the same service at a easily visible price. It's transparent, and also we have a very fair cancellation policy, which is that you can get all your money back if you cancel within 24 hours of your appointment.
I know great
other clinics who take thousands of pounds and then that they won't refund anything ever. So lots of clients have come to me and enjoy the experience of working with us. Where do I see my business going? I just want to I would like it if we supported more and more private GPs and more patients in London, and perhaps one day we perhaps one day we might move to a bigger building. We have a very nice floor on in Greek Street, which we've made very smart. And we have capability to treat 3 clients an hour, but maybe one person we might need to be treating more.
And do you see yourself operating from any other places, locations? Because, you know, lots of people would like to have an outfit like you down the road, but they might be in Manchester.
So we work with a company which we are part of called Alchemy by Effect Doctors. They're in Oxfordshire. So they have, so we got coverage of Oxfordshire, Gloucestershire, the Cotswolds through them. We are helping to set up a company in Wales, which will probably be set up within the next 3 months. That will be just in southern Wales, near Cardiff, and they'll be able to travel. We also work with a company in Birmingham who we support. So we have access to send you doctors or nurses up there. We are also work with a company in Essex, in Rowntree. So we have a reasonable coverage. I'm sorry that we haven't gone further north than Birmingham as of yet. But although if any medical colleagues watching this are interested in working together, then it would be great. Get in touch.
Right.
We're at effectdoctors.com.
Wonderful. So you're looking to collaborate and to expand in that way. So that's great because, you know, obviously in the past, these kind of services were hard to come by. Particularly locally, you know, for some people it was it's prohibitive just to get to a place where they could
absolutely
get an IV treatment, and if they needed a lot, you know, say they were doing a course of IV vitamin C, they would have to actually go and travel and stay somewhere else in order to get the treatment, which was like really prohibitive. For
if anyone gets in touch, I'll be able to signpost them to someone hopefully more local. Or in the worst case scenario, then we have the ability to, send a nurse to you, come to us. And as I said, it's always cheaper to come to the clinic because much of the expense of a nurse coming to you is actually the nurse's time, traveling there and the travel costs.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, look. Very interesting. Thank you very much for introducing your service to Lady Everwell. I'm sure it's going to be of interest to many of our listeners here. But, you know, I also hope that the Effect Clinic with its staff of mainstream medics is going to increase the acceptance of the idea of these metabolic approaches as credible and effective. That's something we need to see happen as quickly as possible. So love hearing about your work.
Oh, Robin, it's lovely to have also heard about your work and your journey into how you got into cancer therapy. Thank you so much for having me to talk to you. I look forward to us chatting again.
Thank you, Dr. Will.
Take care of yourself.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye, Robin. Bye-bye.
Of course, it's a tragedy that our NHS will not even consider safe and effective interventions such as vitamin C, curcumin and the like. But it's heartening to know that they are now so much more readily available and at a reasonably low cost. I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the upcoming Yes to Life conference. It's in London on the 7th of October and it's priced to be affordable for all. The title of the day is Building Your Integrative Cancer Care Team, and it's the second of 2 conferences we've held this year around the topic of you and your cancer team. Apart from some brilliant speakers on this topic, nutritional therapist Kirsten Chick, lifestyle and Ayurvedic guru Dr. Sam Watts, and Patricia Peet, founder of the unique Cancer Option Service and now the Peet Institute for Cancer Knowledge, there will be 16 workshops introducing ways in which you could find support. Everything from breath work to exercise and from sound therapy to acupuncture. You'll be able to attend 4 of these for yourself, but you'll also be able to learn about them all, as well as how to navigate integrative medicine, how to prioritize which approaches to spend your money on, what choices to make if you're on a low budget, and much, much more. I can absolutely guarantee that you'll go away from the day replete with resources to follow up, any of which could have a significant impact on your well-being. Here's what our patron, actress Samantha Womack, who has cancer herself, has to say about the conference.
Hi, I just wanted to share some information with you about a conference which is happening on Saturday, the 7th of October in London. This conference is set up by Yes to Life charity, which is a charity that's very close to my heart. I'm the patron of it, and it's all about your integrative medicine from your cancer journey. Having experienced this journey myself, I'm still on it. It's absolutely vital that you get as much information as possible, not just pharmaceutical information, which you're inundated with, but lots of different kinds of support systems and information that can help you understand your cancer in ways that you can either slow it down or prevent a recurrence. To reiterate, this is not something which is replacing medical care, pharmaceutical care. It's something that runs alongside of it. So at this conference, there will be, I think it's 16 different speakers who will be explaining to you how cancer cells work, how they regenerate, and the various different things that you can do for yourself to improve greatly the quality of your life. For me, I know that I was inundated with lots of complicated information, which some of which I understood and some of which I didn't. And you want so much to do the right thing for yourself. The last conference that was held by Yes to Life, I've read some of the testimonies from people that attended, and they are talking about this conference being life-changing for them, that it changed the way that they viewed their diagnosis. It gave them access to so much information and to support systems. I would urge you, if you have any experience at the moment of dealing with cancer, whether it's you, a friend, a parent, a loved one, if you can get to this conference, I really truly believe that it can only improve your journey. I have nothing to gain from this. I'm not being paid. I believe in it wholeheartedly, and I think it's so important that you take control of cancer and that you understand that these cancer cells need energy and certain environments to get worse and grow. And there are many, many, many things you can do to help that. All kinds of things to do with different kinds of medication that you could be taking, environmental change, stress, anxiety, breathing workshops, but also more interesting things, which you're talking about boosting the immune system. Certainly pharmaceutical companies now are understanding that the old ways, which are to kill cells, sometimes can be too harsh, and actually what we need to do is boost the body's immune system so that it can actually target the cancer cells. It's a lot of information, I know how overwhelming it can be, but information is power. But if you can grab yourselves a ticket to this conference, I really think it would do you the world of good. So share to anyone you know who might benefit from this.
So do look up the dedicated website, which you can get to at yestolifeannualconference.org or via the events section of the main Yes to Life website, which is yestolife.org.uk. There you can read about all the speakers and the workshop leaders, about the workshops themselves, and you can book your place. And of course, I'll be there, and I'll be delighted to meet any of you who attend. Do make a point of saying hello. So thanks for listening today. I hope you can join me again next week when I'll introduce another expert from the field of integrative medicine for cancer in another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.